you today.
What a day.
We are having like the winds of winds.
50, 60 mile an hour winds.
I know. Don't you love how we open it up and give you a little weather
report? The weather report, you know, and you're here on a different day and everything, so it doesn't matter at all. It's totally absurd. Well, I haven't.
I like doing it. Oh, no, you know what it reminds me of?
What?
It reminds me of when we were the church.
Riverside Church of God in Christ.
Riverside Church of God in Christ. And there was this, one of the mothers, she would stand up to read minutes or something. Yeah, minutes from the Bible studies from the week before. And she would always say, and the weather was nice, it was warm, or whatever it was.
Yeah, right.
And so she'd always give the weather. And I just thought, well, that is sort of cute.
Mm-hmm. And here we are, doing the weather.
We're being
so
cute.
We're cute. Yeah. Yeah. Wow, we're cute.
Okay, so today is whatever it is. And we're going to do whatever we need.
Right. And you're just supposed to sit there and take it.
Well, listen to him to take it.
Oh,
but
yeah.
We are going to, as usual, we're going to do a little bit of study in the Word. And we have some songs that we will be singing. And you can sing along when you hear the songs, because you may very well know them.
You may.
And then Robert will read from his book. And we'll jibber jabber. Some more. And then we'll let you go.
Yeah, right. You know, don't even have to put a quarter in the slot.
Hallelujah. Oh, good, because I ain't got no quarters.
Ain't got none. Oh, no, all my quarters are in the retirement fund.
The retirement fund.
I have a jar full of my coins, and that's my retirement
fund. The big plastic jugs that are all over the place.
Yeah, full of money.
If anybody breaks them looking for them, they're all over the place.
Yeah, yeah. Don't.
So don't just stop in one spot.
Right, we're talking to the thieves now who might break in. We want to make sure that they know where to find things.
Yes, exactly.
Everywhere.
All right, let's get into the Word.
All right, we're going to get into the
Psalm
Word.
Psalm 37:4.
Now, just to break things up, usually I read from the Message, but today I'm going to read from the New King James
Version.
Well,
you didn't tell me that.
Aha! See? I'm surprised Rosalie, she doesn't know what's going on. They're just all over the place here. Psalm 37 and verse 4 in the New King James Version says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." Now that's a verse that's used by many ministries. Many people, I've heard many Christians say, well, the Lord said he's going to give me my desires of my heart, and I desire da-da-da-da-da-da, such and so. You know, and figure, well, God's going to give it to me because he said he'll give me the desire of my heart, and I desire this.
It's a tough one.
Well, the problem is humans down here can desire a lot of terrible stuff. We can desire to commit adultery. We can desire to steal things. We can desire all kinds of evil. And we know that God is not a party to evil, and
he's not an author of evil.
No, and he's not going to endorse evil or anything like that. So it can't mean that he'll give us whatever we desire in our heart.
Yeah, because we've got evil in us, too.
How does it read in the Message?
Well, of course, much clearer than that.
Wait a minute.
It basically is, okay. Get insurance with God and do a good deed. Settle down and stick to your last. Keep company with God. Get in on the best. I think that's the main thing. Keep company with God.
Delight yourself also in the Lord is how it says here.
Sure.
You know, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, I remember when I was questioning this verse and thinking, well, what do you mean give me the desires? I could have all these evil desires. And I felt the Lord show me, he said, well, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will put the desires in our heart.
Yes, I remember when you got that revelation.
And it's been a revelation to me ever since, because that's what I seek to do, is let God put in my heart what to desire. Because I know even today, you know, I can still desire that second helping, which I know is not good for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but...
Unless it's fish.
Fish is okay.
Yeah.
But You know, we gotta get close to God. It's all about delighting yourself in the Lord, finding our happiness and our fulfillment in Him instead of in the world. And then we will become aligned with Him, and then our desires will be His desires. What does He desire? He desires us to love people. He desires us to help people. He desires us to share His word and our testimony.
Yeah.
Those kind of things.
Yes, and I desire those too, because they're His desires. And I want what He wants.
Amen. They weren't what we wanted originally. I mean, well, before we knew the Lord, those weren't the desires of our heart.
Well, I didn't even know what that would have been, you know.
Well, I know.
Lust.
Well, mine was sex, drugs, rock and roll, party, hearty.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I wanted, you know. And
to feed the self,
to
the
feed
flesh.
That's all it did.
Fed the flesh.
That's all it was. You know, and so.
The next verse says, though, which is really good, too, open up before God, keep nothing back. He'll do whatever needs to be done. He'll validate your life in the clear light of day and stamp you with approval at high noon.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Read that again. Open up before God.
And I'm working on an article right now about trust, and so that kind of hit me.
Ah, that's a good verse for you there.
Yeah, it is, because I couldn't open up to anybody but God, because I could trust Him.
Amen.
He wouldn't tell me.
Amen. As a matter of fact, we're working with a gentleman now. We've been working with him for quite a long time, really. And he tells me that over and over, every time I talk to him, he said, "You're the only person I can trust."
He does say that.
He does say that. "You're the only person I can trust." And I'm glad I'm there for him for that. And he knows he can trust God. He's a believer. He knows he can trust God. But sometimes in this world, it's hard to trust other people.
Yes, and sometimes we really feel like we need a confidant, somebody we can talk to that won't go tell everybody else and won't use against me what I've just told them. So.
Oh, amen. You are my confidant. Rosalie is my confidant.
Yes,
and I don't
and
know
you.
What I would do without that. I mean, I have nobody else to talk to.
Mm-mm.
I'm talking to you guys, but you know.
But you don't get it all.
Don't tell anybody.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Now we're going to look at Matthew chapter 17, verses 19 through 20. That's in the New Testament. That's the first book in the New Testament, Matthew. Matthew was one of the apostles, one of the disciples of the Lord, and he was the money changer. He was the tax collector that Jesus called to be with him, and he wrote this gospel. And in chapter 17, verses 19 through 20, it says, "Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, 'Why could we not cast it out?'" Now, let me give you a little background there. Jesus had been up on a mountain praying. And while he was up there, his disciples were down at the base of the mountain, and people were coming to them for healing, like they came to Jesus. And this one guy came, and his son was demon-possessed, and they kept trying to cast out the demon, and it wouldn't go. So then Jesus came down, and they told him the thing, and he said, "Well, get out of here," and the demon got out right away. And then later, the disciples come and say, "Well, why couldn't we cast it out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Now, back then, people knew about seeds and growing things and stuff because they lived closer to the land and closer to food producing. You know, they knew that a mustard seed was a very tiny, tiny seed. Matter of fact, most cooks would know that too, because they use mustard seed. You know, most of us who aren't cooks, well, we wouldn't know that unless we're also gardeners, you know.
I don't plant mustard.
No, we don't plant mustard, which I don't know why we don't, but we don't. Anybody out there, if anybody knows why we don't plant mustard, let us know. But anyhow, Jesus said if you had this little teeny tiny itsy bitsy, tiny wincy piece of faith, you could say to a mountain, "Move," and it would move. You know, now I don't think he wants us to be in the excavation business where we're, you know, constantly throwing mountains all around the world and everything. I think he's talking about other things. There's mountains in our life. Addictions can be mountains in our lives. Mm. You know, hatred can be a mountain in our life. Mm-hmm. You know, anything can be a mountain.
Lack. Lack of money, whatever we might need, you think you need.
Yes. And God is well able to provide if we will allow him mm-hmm. and do it in his way and have the faith to believe. So when we confess, you know, God, do this for me, we've got to believe he can do it. And we've got to have faith and stand on that faith. You know, we've seen many miracles in our life and in our ministry. Unbelievable things. Things we could tell people and have told people, and they go, ah, yeah, come on, you know. We've seen miracles.
And experienced them ourselves.
And experienced them ourselves. Healings and many other different things. And it's just that you have to have faith to stand on them. Sometimes you have to wait for them. But you have to have faith to stand. It's how'd you get saved? You confess Jesus. You know, you received him as your Lord and Savior. Believe God raised him from the dead. But you had to have faith to believe that that really happened. Because as soon as it happens, somebody's going to tell you, oh, that didn't happen. Or you're going to tell yourself, oh, nothing's different. You have to believe it's different. And believe God has changed you. And he will change you. That's what we need is faith.
Amen. And the message, it says, because you're not yet taking God seriously.
Mm.
So the simple truth is that if you had a mere kernel of faith, a poppy seed, say, you would tell this mountain, move, and it would move. Now, I have actually spoke the words mountain and then would say what it is, you know, get out of here. And because of the scripture.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, but I think the words in there are so, that Eugene Peterson, who translated the message, is so right on. When he says, you're not taking God seriously.
Right.
God tells us this, you know, have a little faith. Just a little bit. And you can accomplish so much. And we don't believe him. Or we don't take it seriously. Well, he's just kidding around. He don't really mean, you know. But he does mean it. You know, look at what Jesus did when he was on earth. And he tells us that when he was leaving, he said, you guys will do even more than I've done.
Yes.
If you just have faith. You know, so.
And you step out.
And then people, you know, will ask for things and go to God and wonder, well, why don't I receive it? Mm-hmm. Why? Where is it? And in James 4:3, we gave another verse that addresses that. You know, people were coming to James. They're saying, hey, I'm praying. I'm praying. Why don't I receive it? You know, I'm asking for this. I'm asking for that. Where is it? And I know anybody who has stood for faith in a healing or man, there's been times, I mean, we couldn't afford the down payment on a free lunch. You know, and we'd be so far and messed up and people going to come and turn the lights off and all this kind of stuff. And we just believed God and believed God and believed God, and God brought us through every single time. I mean, he didn't miss a lick, you know, and you just got to stand on it. You got to believe for it. You got to stand with God. God said it, I believe it, and that's that. And in James 4:3, it says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. We're asking for things that don't line up with God. What we ask for has got to line up with God. Now, God wants us, he says, you know, don't worry about food and drink and all that because he'll take care of us. He takes care of the birds in the air and the flowers in the field, you know, and he'll take care of us. We can trust him for our basic needs.
Amen.
And we've just got to do it and trust him for everything. But when we pray, make sure you're lined up with God. And how are you going to know you're lined up with God unless you're in his word, you know his word, you're filled with his word? How are you going to know? If you're just, well, I've heard a lot of sermons. I've picked up some word there, you know. Went to Sunday school when I was a kid. Well, that might get you so far. But how far do you want to go? God has got everything we need.
Yes, and instead of stopping when we don't get what we're asking for immediately, so stopping and just kind of just stopping, we immediately go blame God.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's God's fault.
Yeah.
And God did this or God did that. And so because you know you'd be asking for what you have no right to is what the message says. You're spoiled children, each wanting your own way. Oh, my heavens, isn't that the truth?
Wow.
If it's not going to be my way, again, we go back to them, the desires of the heart.
Right.
You know.
I want this.
Uh-huh.
I want it now.
Right. I don't necessarily need it.
But I want it.
God meets our needs, not our wants.
And, you know, look at the world today. There are people who are doing so many, there are people mutilating their bodies so that they can be what they want to be. There are people, you know, doing so many different strange and things that you never would have imagined 10 or 20 years ago that are commonplace today. Matter of fact, they're making it so it's against the law to even say some of these crazy things are crazy.
You just broke the law.
Well, I know. In Canada now, they have passed a law that they passed all these hate speech laws. You know, it's hateful to mispronoun somebody, or it's hateful, you know, to do this or do that. And now they've passed a law where they say if you're convicted of hate speech, you go to prison for life. Life. I mean, this is where we're headed and what's going on. But we need to line ourselves up with God. And just, if we're going to ask for something, ask for what God would want us to have.
Yes, and you see, I refused for some time to do that, to line myself up with God, because, as I would say, but I want to have fun.
Oh, the fun thing.
Yeah, exactly. And come to find out, lining myself up with God is having fun. So, you know, God doesn't ask us not to have fun in our life, but not sinful fun.
Well, yeah, the thing is, like I was a party maniac, you know, and all that. Party, 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 have a good time, have a good time. That wasn't fun. It was like insanity. I was just running after thrills and numbing myself out and everything. And I would say, have a good time. I wasn't having a good time. I hated it. I just hated everything I was doing. It wasn't a good time. But then, like you say, we come to the Lord and we get the joy of the Lord. We get to know the fellowship of other believers. And we can have real fun and
yes.
Good times.
Amen.
Amen. So now we're going to share some songs with you.
Speaking of having fun and being lined up with God, if you put your hand in the hand of the man who stealed the wasps.
Put your hand in the hand of the man who stealed the wasps. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea.
Take a look
at yourself, and you can look at others differently. No hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Every time I look into the hole, Mama taught me how to pray. before I reach the age of 7.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, you know, God is so powerful, isn't he?
Oh, he is. There is nothing more powerful than God. Forget about atomic energy, atomic bombs, any of that kind of stuff. God is the power.
Amen.
You know, he Amen. Created everything. All he had to do is say, let it be, and there it was.
There is power and power, wonder working power in the blood.
Wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. doing some ministry with spirit-filled Catholics, and they would talk about the blood, plead the blood, plead the blood. And I thought, God, that sounds so gross. What the
heck? Really?
It did. It just kind of grossed me out. I hated it, actually.
I can remember when I first came to the Lord and I mentioned the blood to somebody about pleading the blood. He said, man, that's what makes Christianity always sound like a butcher block religion.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's like, well, yeah, I guess it does. You know, the blood, people, the blood is not good. I mean, to me, I have a terrible memory in my life, a sensual memory of the smell of blood on concrete. Something happened to me when I was very young, and that smell, I'll never forget it, and I always recognize it.
But I can remember the ladies standing over me, praying for me, and pleading the blood.
Right.
And they would say, I'm pleading the blood, and I thought, good God. Because I didn't understand it.
No, I remember when it became a very powerful thing in my life when I was battling an addiction. I was able to physically cause myself to quit taking the substance. But I was bummed out. I mean, I was always depressed. I wanted to get high, but I wouldn't do it. I wanted to get high, I wouldn't do it. And finally, it was from that verse in James about you praying for the desires, the wrong things. You desire the wrong things. And I just thought about the power of the blood, and I had this revelation to me to plead the blood of Jesus between me and the desire for that substance. And God healed me of it and has taken it away from that day to this, decades and decades later. No desire, because the blood cleansed me of the desire.
Hallelujah.
Now we're going to do one of them homegrown songs. I am who he says I am. It's part of a series of three books, Faith, Hope, and Love. They're all made up of essays about life with God, Christian living. And this is the 11th essay out of the first book called Faith. And I hope you're going to enjoy it. Here it is. I got faith. You got faith. All God's children got faith. Pastor John Osteen, the father of megachurch Pastor Joel, used to lead his congregation in this confession. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. while waving his big black Bible in the air. He started every service this way, encouraging the faithful to stand on God's word. It's our confession of God's word that opens the door to miracles. For if we don't believe God's word, how can we say we believe God? And if we don't believe God, who and what do we believe? Many of us have been told we're losers. Many of us have been told we're worthless, unwanted, unnecessary, and unloved. Not all of us grew up with mom and pop Cleaver protecting, supporting, and affirming us. Many of us have told ourselves we're no good, forgotten, and useless. And sad to say, many of us believe what the world says about it. We often believe ourselves and allow these beliefs to shape and guide our lives. Maybe we should try God. Let's believe His word and let that shape and guide our lives. Now think about God's word for a moment. He says that His word is truth and that His judgments endure forever. He also says He watches over His word to perform it. If He's lying about all that, He's a liar. And we know God isn't a liar. The devil is. That's His very nature. And since the devil's original sin was his desire to be recognized as God, when we say or act as if God is a liar, we're giving the devil exactly what he wants, because we're saying the liar is our God. Spiritual things can only be understood by those who are spiritual. To the natural man, they're foolishness, and to the fool, and the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. In this article, I'm speaking to believers and hopefully to those without hope who might become believers. To those who confess Jesus as Lord and who believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead. If I've done those things, his word says, we will be saved. It doesn't say might be. It doesn't say could be. It says will be, which also means you can be. He also says we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, that we will be judged by the words that come out of our mouth, and that whatever we ask in the name of Jesus, we shall receive, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That is some powerful stuff. Our words are important. Some people interpret all this in such a way to believe that God becomes their servant and that he's honor-bound to give us anything we ask for. But in his word, he tells us that we need to ask for the right stuff. And he says, you ask and don't receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. We need to get lined up with him. We need to allow him to put the desires in our heart and then use the power of confession in the name of Jesus to move forward in the ministry he's called us to. And then we'll receive the desires of our heart, the ones he put there. For make no mistake, if you're a believer, you've been called to minister the word to a world dying to receive it. That ministry is your witness. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. God will always give you the words to say if you testify for him. Share your witness, your testimony. Simply tell what the Lord has done for you. And if you don't have a testimony, seek the Lord until you have one. All it takes is faith to walk out on God's word and expect him to accomplish it. That's what we do to get saved. And that's what we must do to be who he says we are, to have what he says we have, and to do what he's called us to do. And if the believers among us think we don't have enough faith, remember, we had faith enough to believe God for salvation. And I don't know about you, but if I have enough faith to believe God will welcome someone like me into heaven, I've got more than a mustard seed of faith, worth so much that a mountain better start to jump when I say jump. Also, remember, Faith is a gift from God. You can always ask for more. So if you don't have enough faith to believe God for salvation, ask God and He will give it to you. I got faith. You got faith. All God's children got faith. And the only kind of faith for me is faith in Jesus Christ.
Robert, thank you so much for that reading.
You're quite welcome.
From your wonderful book. And you can purchase all of Dr. Owens's books at Amazon.com by going into
the search. You just in the search line, just put in the name of this book. It's called Faith. And then there's a magic secret word. Don't tell anybody. After that, you put in Dr. D-R period. Dr. Robert Owens. After the word faith, and it'll bring it up. If you don't put in the secret word, Amazon won't bring up my books.
Yes, and you can also go to the website.
Yeah, you go to our website, itookarightturn.com, all one word, itookarightturn.com. And
get linked up there.
Yeah, send us a message. We'll send you links there. Anything you want, questions, give us something. Just call us names. I don't care what. Send us a message.
Tell us what you would like to hear, if you have questions about anything.
Or what you don't want to hear.
Yes, well, that might be the whole thing. So we
right. So, okay. Thank you very much. Here's...
Here's what?
Here's what?
No, you said here's...
Yeah, here's...
Here's the end.
We did the music.
We did it.
We did the reading.
We did it.
You mean we're done?
We're done.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Okay. Well, it's sad. Happy trails to you. You know, I just hate to see you go.
Oh,
even though I can't see you.
I can't see you.
I can't see you.
I don't even know if you're there.
I hate to see you go. I don't even know if you're there. You know, but here we go. Bye-bye.
Have a blessed, blessed week.
Amen. Enjoy the weather wherever you are, because you know what? Wherever you go, there's the weather.
Amen. I took a right turn.